Good morning, church. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary covered it all? Amen. Not half, not a little bit, but covered it all. We praise the Lord for that this morning. Well, it's good to see all of you here this morning, and I'm very thankful and honored to be filling in for Dr. May this morning while he and Delaney are away on vacation. And I'm always grateful to stand before you. And so thank you for being here. And I believe that God's got a word for us today. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to look at two verses, verse 9 and 10. This passage, or the one particular verse, has become known as the prayer of Jabez. In the year 2000, there was a pastor that wrote a book regarding this passage here, and the book was called The Prayer of Jabez, and that was a very popular book. It actually became a bestseller and still popular today. And so it was taken from this passage, these two verses here, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Notice it says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. As we come to this part of the service, God, and we open your word, I pray that we'd open our hearts and be receptive to your word. God, I pray in the words of John the Baptist that I will decrease and you will increase. Give me the words to say. Forgive me of my sins. Speak through me, all for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a poem that I want to read to you this morning for my introduction. The author and origin of this poem are unknown, but the title of the poem is simply My Comfort Zone. My Comfort Zone. Listen to the words of this poem. See what you think. It says, "I used to have a comfort zone where I knew I wouldn't fail. The same four walls and busy work were really more like jail. I longed so much to do the things I'd never done before, but stayed inside my comfort zone and paced the same old floor. I said it didn't matter that I wasn't doing much. I said I didn't care for things like commission checks and such. I claimed to be so busy with the things inside the zone, but deep inside I longed for something special of my own. I couldn't let my life go by just watching others win. I held my breath. I stepped outside and let the change begin. I took a step, and with new strength I'd never felt before, I kissed my comfort zone goodbye and closed and locked the door. If you're in a comfort zone afraid to venture out, remember that all winners were at one time filled with doubt. A step or two and words of praise can make your dreams come true. Reach for your future with a smile. Success is there for you." A comfort zone has been defined as that state in which things feel familiar. Things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and perceive that they are in total control of their environment, and they are experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. I'm sure that this morning it's safe to say that we all have our comfort zone. We like it when everything feels safe and secure. And really, there's nothing wrong with desiring a way of life where things are familiar and comfortable and we feel at ease. We want experience life with low levels of stress and anxiety. But understand this morning that our comfort zone can become our danger zone. If we stay in that comfort zone too long, that comfort zone becomes a rut that it's hard to climb out of. But listen, it is natural and normal, as I said, to want and have and live within that comfort zone. There's nothing wrong with being happy and content and satisfied with life, but never leaving our comfort zone can cause life to become stagnant and we become complacent. It has been said that a comfort zone is a beautiful place to be, but nothing ever grows there. As Christians, the Bible teaches us to grow and to learn and to develop spiritually. And we're taught in the Bible to not be satisfied with being complacent and casual in our spiritual walk. It is God's will for His people to grow and develop and to become more Christ-like. And to do that, we must be willing to leave our comfort zone. And so that raises the question this morning, how is it that we are able to leave that comfort zone? How is it that we are able to make our way and climb out of that rut to a new place in life? Well, here in this prayer of Jabez, I think we can find some things that will help us this morning escape our comfort zone. The title of today's lesson, Leaving Your Comfort Zone, notice three things here in this passage. First of all, let's talk about Jabez and his personality. Jabez and his personality. Look at verse 9. Notice what it says. Read it with me. He says here, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, we find the genealogy of the nation of Israel. There are over 500 names here found in this genealogy. I mean, if you start at chapter 1 and you get into it and you begin to read into this Hebrew genealogy, it reads more like a Hebrew phone book. I mean, it's just name after name after name. And we see here in chapter 1, we find the genealogy is from begins with Adam. And then the genealogy goes from Adam to Abraham. Then from Abraham to Jacob. Then the genealogy continues from Jacob to David. And then we get to chapter 4, and we find the genealogy of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in that genealogy of the 12 tribes of Israel, beginning in chapter 4, we find first the genealogy of the tribe of Judah. And nestled, if you will, we find here in this nine chapter genealogy, we find this man named Jabez. We find Jabez here. He stands out. I mean, as I said, there are 500 names in this genealogy, and many of them are hard to pronounce, and most of them we'll probably forget, but Jabez is one that rises above the crowd. He is one that stands out in over these 500 names. You might say, or could say, that in these nine chapters of mainly nobodies, here in chapter 4, we find a somebody named Jabez. And I want to talk about that for a moment. That's really our first application. We should never be satisfied with just blending in. Amen? As Christians, we should never be satisfied with just being like everybody else. Listen, God has created us. He saved us, He has equipped us, He's gifted us, He's blessed us, and He calls each one of us to be different. He calls us to be different. Now, I'm not talking about as believers, we're to be that, you know, kind of that weird different, you know, you don't want to be that guy. He doesn't call us to be weird different, and I'm not talking about living in sin and rebellion different. But I'm talking about striving for holiness in an unholy world different. I'm talking about living in a dark and dying world and allowing the light of the world, Jesus, to shine in us and through us different. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says that we are a peculiar people. Now, in today's language, peculiar means that might make you want to fight, wouldn't it? I mean, that means kind of strange and different. But in the original Greek language of the New Testament, that word peculiar that is used to describe us as believers, it means that we are God's special possession. In this lost, dark, and dying world, and we belong to God, we're His children, and it says we're His special possession, that alone is reason enough to be different in this world. Amen? In the early 1990s, the Arby's fast food restaurant chain had an advertising slogan. They said, "Arby's is different, and different is good." And they had a TV commercial, and in that commercial, they would show these images, several images, one right after another. They show these black and white images of a plain, boring, unappealing hamburger. I mean, it was just over and over, just a different shot, different picture of a plain, do-nothing hamburger. And the announcer in the commercial would say, he would say, "Same, same, 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 same," and then he would say, "Different." And when the announcer said different, they showed this color image of a big, fat, juicy, appealing, make you want to shout, Arby's roast beef sandwich. And Arby's said, in this world of bland, boring, do-nothing hamburgers, we're different. We've got roast beef. And they said, Arby's is different. Different is good. As Christians in this world, we need to realize and strive to be different. Amen? Why? Because different is good. We should not think it bad to be different. We should be glad to be different. As Christians, we need to get out of our comfort zone. We do need to stand out in this lost and dying world. We need to be different because different is good. And God will bless and honor those who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and make a commitment to be different. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says that the eyes of the Lord God of the universe is searching the earth to and fro for those that will honor Him. That's good, isn't it? The Lord God of the universe is just looking for somebody that's willing to be different. And He will pour out His blessings and honor that person in a special way. So, let's look here now at the two things we can learn here about Jabez here. As we're talking about, number one, talking about the Jabez and his personality. I want us to notice here, first of all, notice his problem in life. Notice his problem in life. The name Jabez means pain or affliction. The literal full translation is this: he will cause pain. Now, in Bible times, in ancient Bible times, the name that you were given, that was your identity. That your name is who you are. And your name meant your identity, and you live life living up to that name. The names in the ancient Bible times had special meaning, not as we treat names today. So that raises the question, how would you like to start out life with a name that says you're a pain in the neck? Jabez means he's pain. He's going to cause pain. He's a pain in the neck. Most people, I think, would just say, oh, well, just accept that as your lot in life. Not going to be able to amount to much. Not going to be able to accomplish anything. no need to strive. There's no need, there's no chance for success. But we see here that Jabez didn't do that. As we continue here, we see his problem in life, but notice here, notice his performance in life. Notice it says here that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That means that Jabez was a person who was worthy of more honor. Jabez, because of how he lived his life, he was worthy of recognition. In 500 names through 9 chapters, we see here Jabez is worthy of recognition. Why is that? It's because of that one verse prayer we find here in verse 10. And it says here that Jabez called on God. When everybody else was turning away from God, Jabez, out of 500 names, says, I want to break out of the pack. I don't want to fit in with the crowd. He wants to rise above his problems. He wanted to be a man of God that God could use in a powerful way. It was fine. There's no comfort zone here for this man named Jabez. No comfort zone for him at all. He had problems. Yes, we all have problems. Amen. I have problems. You have problems. All God's children got problems. Amen, church. But we can learn from Jabez how we need to rise above our problems. Listen. Even in times when we feel overwhelmed with problems, God still has a plan. God still has a plan. It doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter what you're going through right now here today. Look at your problems as opportunities for God to do a great work. Yes, yes, problems or an opportunity for God to show out. Charles Swindoll, a megachurch pastor, he's written many books. He said this, quote, every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. I love that. I encourage you to write that down. Make that a principle in life. Every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day, he goes on to say, every day we encounter countless golden opportunities brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. So we see here Jabez had his own issues in life, but he broke out of the pack. He wanted to leave that comfort zone. He wanted to be different and stand out, stand up for God. So we see here Jabez and his personality. Now let's look at number 2. Look at Jabez and his prayer. Jabez and his prayer. Look at verse 10. Read that with me. Notice what he says here. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you should keep me from evil and that I may not cause pain. Martin Luther, the leader of the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, said this about prayer. He said, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. And that is certainly true here. We find this one verse prayer, a short but powerful prayer. And I want us to break down this prayer here. Let's look at the things that Jabez is praying for and see what he's asking for in this prayer here. Notice 3 things in this prayer he prays for in this powerful prayer. We see here, first of all, Jabez prays for prosperity. He prays for prosperity. Notice he says, God, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Now, Jabez he's asking for the fullness of God's blessings in his life. Please understand that he's not praying or asking God for material possessions. I think that sometimes in our Christian life today, that when we hear that word blessings, when we ask God to bless us or to bless others, I think we have that automatic default where we automatically think about physical things or material things. And sometimes we need to ask for those kind of things. But that's not what Jabez is asking for here. He's not asking for material possessions, not asking for earthly power, prestige. Jabez is praying to the God of the Lord God of the universe and saying, God, bless me indeed. Pour your life, pour your spirit into my life. Fill me with your presence. Bless me so I can be a blessing to others. He's not asking for things, but he's saying, God, bless me. Do a work in my life, and I will in turn live my life in a way that glorifies you. That's the purpose of every one of us. The Bible says our purpose in life is to glorify the Lord God of the universe. And Jabez is willing to do that, wanting to do that, asking God to pour blessings into his life. Listen, Jabez was not satisfied with being average. Jabez was not satisfied with the mediocre. As believers today, let's not be satisfied with a mediocre, amen? Who wants to be just average? We're a child of the Lord God of the universe. Gene Spears sang earlier that we're on our way to heaven. This world is not our home. Let's take advantage of the opportunities that are ours and let's commit to not just being average. Ask God to bless us in powerful ways so we can in turn glorify Him in powerful ways. Listen, let's break away from the ordinary because God is not an ordinary God. And he wants to use each one of us in extraordinary ways. Notice he says here, enlarge my territory. Now, that is certainly a leave your comfort zone statement if there ever was one. He's saying, enlarge my territory. Now listen, he's not asking for more real estate. He's not asking God to expand his property. He's saying he's not satisfied with where he was. He took an assessment of his life, realized he wasn't satisfied with where he was. He wants to break out and do more for God. He wants more influence. He wants more opportunities. I found an illustration here for life's opportunities, kind of a different perspective about opportunities. And our point here is as believers, we need to be like Jabez, follow his example and ask God to give us more opportunities to serve him and to glorify him. But this was written by a man by the name of Lincoln Steffens. He wrote this about life's opportunities. Notice what he says. He says, nothing is done, Lincoln Steffens wrote. Everything in the world remains to be done or done over. The greatest picture is yet to be painted. The greatest play isn't written. The greatest poem is unsung. Nothing is perfect. There's no perfect airline. There's no perfect government. There's no perfect law. Faucets still drip. Faucets still drip as one did in the Steffens household years ago. And he and his 7-year-old son tried to fix it. Steffens had to admit that he could not fix a leaky faucet. But, he said, he may, referring to his son, there's a job for him and his generation in the plumbing business and in every other business. Teach your children that nothing is done finally and right. Teach your children that nothing is known positively and completely. Teach your children that the world is theirs All of it. Listen to me, church. Listen. As believers, the world is ours. There are endless opportunities for us as a church and as individual believers. Endless opportunities. We need to learn to view life that way. Listen, there are still lost people to be reached. There are still mission trips to be taken. There's still outreach events to be held. There are still songs to be sung. There are still Sunday school lessons to be taught. There are still Sunday school lessons to be learned. There are still those who are underprivileged and needy who need to be served. And yes, there's still some Timbo Smokehouse barbecue that needs to be ate. I got an amen on that one. The question is, church, are we willing to break out and do more? Are we willing to leave our comfort zone and take advantage of the opportunities that God puts in front of each one of us? So we see here that Jabez is praying for prosperity. Notice, second of all, he's praying for power. Notice he says here in his prayer, he says, "Your hand be with me. Your hand be with me." Now, please understand. Let me say this. Understand that this is not a pop psychology message. This is not a believe it and you can achieve it lesson today. I don't believe in those things. But Jabez understood that if he was going to break out, if he was going to be different, if he was going to stand up for God, if he was going to do great things for God, he knew he needed God's power in his life. How many of you here today know that when you step out to do something for God under your own power and strength, it will fail? Listen, trying to do something for the Lord, trying to step out and do something for God on our own, it's like walking through a revolving door with a pair of snow skis over our shoulder. It just can't be done. We need to make sure that we don't leave God out of the equation. And Jabez understood that. God, bless me indeed. I'm going to do something extraordinary for you, but God, I need your help. I need your power. And he prayed for that. So we see here, not only did he pray for prosperity, Jabez prayed for power, and thirdly, he prayed for protection. He prayed for protection. Jabez simply prayed that God would protect him from sin. His heart's desire was to maintain a good testimony. He wanted to make sure that under God's guidance and direction that he did not do anything to dishonor God. We certainly need to pray that prayer as well. We all need God's help. But this is a powerful prayer. Got to move on. This is a powerful prayer here from a person who wanted to make a greater impact and have more influence for God. And please understand, we look at this prayer and we can see here that this is not a selfish prayer. This is not a selfish personal prayer here, and we know that from point number three. We see here Jabez and his personality, Jabez and his prayer. Number three, and lastly, notice Jabez and God's provision. Jabez and God's provision. Look at the second part of verse 10 now. Let me just read the first part of verse 10, lead into the second part of verse 10. Notice Jabez, in his prayer, it says, he called on the Lord God of Israel, saying this, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. God, pour yourself into my life. Enlarge my territory. Give me greater influence. Give me greater and more opportunity. that your hand would be with me. God, I need your help. I need your power in my life to do these things. That you would keep me from evil. God, don't let me allow sin in my life or do anything that would dishonor you. That I might not cause pain. And notice this. So God granted him what he requested. God heard and answered the prayer of Jabez. Listen, aren't you glad that the Lord God of the universe is a God that hears and answers our prayers? I mean, really, we take that for granted, I think. That an all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, ever-present, sovereign God is sitting in the throne room of heaven, and we can call on him at any time, and he'll hear us and answer our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. God says to us through the prophet Jeremiah, he says, call to me. There's three words that tells you that God wants to hear from you. God is saying, listen, ring me up. Hit me. Call me. Not a text. You call me. And he then goes on to say, and I will answer you. And I will show you great mighty things which you do not know. God has great and mighty things in store for each one of us and in store for us as a church. Great and mighty things that we don't even know about. But we need to be willing to take a step of faith and leave our comfort zone. Jabez provides a powerful example for us here this morning. It's a reminder about the example of Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the comfort zone of heaven. He was born into this world, and at the age of 33, he was nailed to a cross. And as we sang about a moment ago, he shed his blood on that hill called Calvary, and that blood covers it all. Three days later, he was raised from the dead, and he lives today. If you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, please let me encourage you, don't put it off. Step out of that comfort zone. God will give you the courage. God will bless you if you just step out and trust him. Pray a simple prayer of faith. Ask Jesus into your heart. Be the most important decision you will ever make. But maybe you're here today and God's prompting you to make a change in your life. Maybe it's joining the church. Maybe you've been attending our church for a while now. You're not a member, but maybe you've settled into a comfort zone and you're attending our church. We're glad you're attending. Praise the Lord for you. But maybe today God is prompting you to step out. Place your membership here. Leave that comfort zone. And make a commitment by joining a local church family. Maybe it's serving in the church. Maybe it's getting involved. Maybe there's an area where you need to be obedient in your life. And maybe there's a personal decision you've been thinking about. You're not sure about what you need to do, or you really know what you need to do, but you're not sure about taking that step of faith, leaving your comfort zone. In just a moment, Mark is going to lead us in an invitation hymn. The praise band will lead in an invitation song over in the contemporary service, and I encourage any of you here today that needs to take a step of faith, needs to leave that comfort zone, you step out and come today. If you're here today, maybe you need to do as that poem said and kiss your comfort zone goodbye. God will bless you and honor that as you do that today. Let's pray.